item one. They are six all together. The non-items are three. Presentation by Business and Arts South Africa, and four, deliberations. It's my take that we don't have any other business. That's the focus of the meeting today. We agreed on that one. Thank you very much. That assists us to be focused. I am Chenwani Farisani, chairing this portfolio committee. And today we are privileged to listen to a presentation by Business and Arts South Africa. Our normal way of doing things is to try to work in a very friendly and constructive way. That does not exclude robustness of discussion, of presentation, of questions on content and clarity. But we at all times remember that democracy is judged by certain criteria, beginning with allowing the people to determine their destination, making choices among different possibilities. And we will represent the people outside. We come here and try to do things as democratically as we can. A portfolio committee is not a political party. There are members of different political parties, and all of them make very constructive inputs in our deliberations. So we value the input by everybody. Now, even you yourselves, we know that we are here partly because of your vote. And you can determine in the next election that we don't come back. But I think equally you recognize that having the position of responsibility as you do, I've gone through your report, and you are aware that you are count to the stakeholders, and I want to believe particularly to the arts community, those people without whom we would have no business to be sitting here today. So let us do our things in such a way that we are not one-sided. We allow the other side to be heard. I was not there during the time of Caesar, the emperor. If I were there, I would say, let's respect the ID alteram partem principle. Let's hear each other. Let's hear the other side. If the will of God, it means we'll be working together for the 5 years of this term, unless we are redeployed one way or another. So let us make it a very fruitful 5-year term. And that can only happen if we work together, if we assist one another. Now, we shall proceed to apologies. When those who are not here prove that they are not here, we shall ask those that are here to introduce themselves so that we know one another. There's power in a name. Thank you. Apologies. honorable members. Secretary?
There's one chairperson from honorable Congress of the people. That's the only one I received.
And we have a standing apology from honorable Chivase, who has been on leave on family leave because of challenges around the health of the husband. And I've been in touch with Honorable Maluleke. He says he will be joining us, just a challenge or two somewhere. If we have exhausted the apology list, please, we'll begin with our honorable member, Mama, to introduce yourself, and we'll move anti-clockwise.
Thank you, sir. I'm Mokuno Mani, member of the committee.
I'm Desiree van der Walt, a member of this committee, second term. I'm a Santa. I must be the Magogo yet.
We'll need to produce birth certificates because some of us will not be unseated that easily. And we also consider the weight. Thank you.
Chairperson, I'm Annelie Lottery, DA.
Thank you. And it's important to know our staff. May our staff introduce themselves, please. We've not exhausted introductions.
Beauty Zainer, committee assistant.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Ilza Barron from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
I'm Gwena Legumbi, a member of Business and Arts South Africa, a board member.
And I'm Michelle Constance, CEO of Business and Arts South Africa.
Thank you very much. We left with one person.
My name is Lusand Mioli. I am the secretary of this committee.
thank you. The reason I introduce this staff, these are the people sometimes you interact with. It's important to attach a face to a name. Thank you very much. May we hear from... you never prefer to be called Bassam. You prefer to be called the full name.
We prefer to be called Business and Arts South Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, the chairperson and the honorable members. Business and Arts South Africa is a unique organization, a small one with high, great impact. We have prepared a presentation for you, which you have before you, which our CEO, Michelle Constant, will take us through. But before she goes on that, I would like to say we've been privileged as Business Arts in South Africa, Business and Arts South Africa, to have Michelle as our new CEO. She's been at the position for the last 18 months or so, and we've been working very hard to making sure that we get BASA to be a stronger organization, to really speak to the constituency which you're referring to, the arts people, as well as business. I would be more active on the question and answer session because the presentation is quite straightforward and simple, and I'll be able to then interact more with you. But I'll let Michelle Constant to be able to take us through. But on the other hand, before she goes, is that we've got a very strong firm board behind this organization, which Michelle is the CEO of. And I think often we don't hear about board members and their contribution. Our chair and our deputy chair, they couldn't be here because of other commitments, and they've then asked us to be part of this delegation today. And I hope what we present to you, you'll be able to interrogate as well as give us constructive criticism and things to work on to make this organization stronger and speak to the areas of competences that it has outlined for itself. Thank you very much.
By the way, did you introduce yourself?
Yes, I did. I can start over.
Please.
I am Kwame Legumbi. I'm a board member of Business and Arts South Africa.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
At our age, we've been returned to the typewriter age, we forget. Thank you. If and when other members arrive, we'll ask them to introduce themselves. You are on three. How much time do you need to present?
About 20 minutes, I imagine.
About 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Perhaps a little bit less. I haven't exactly timed myself on this, but...
Okay.
All right.
So you'll work around 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So we also have lots of time for deliberations.
All right.
Thank you very much. It's time to present.
That's terrifying. Mr. Farasan, Chairperson, Mr. Gumbe, members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you very much for inviting us to present today. We are here to present the annual report, which we're once again delighted to say is an unqualified audit, so we're very pleased about that. We do have extra copies here. I brought a couple of down in case you had not had the opportunity to see it. I wasn't sure. But what I would like to also do is just give a broader sort of input into actually what Business and Arts South Africa are about. We were founded in 1997 as a joint initiative of the Department of Arts and Culture and the corporate sector. We're part of a strategy to secure greater involvement in the arts from business operating within South Africa. We are established as a Section 21, and we're accountable to our stakeholders. And we do believe that we have three stakeholders. I think historically it's been said business and arts, which is obviously the name, but we do believe that government is the third part and the third stakeholder in that process. So we are very, very aware of that. Government, corporate members, and the arts community. We are constituted in terms of the Companies Act and registered as a public benefit organization. We currently have around 160 members. It has gone up a little, as you will have seen in our annual report. We have grown by about 15%. We have lost some members, some long-term members, but we've also grown and gained some members as well. What we have seen is that we've seen a growth in smaller and mid-sized members, and I think that that is because they are starting to see a particular gap, particularly with the recession at the current moment, and the opportunity to really engage with the arts within this period of time. Our vision is to attract corporate sector support for the arts and for culture, whether financial and or in kind. Crucially,
Honorable Maluleke, they just felt your presence as you entered.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But you stopped nobody from proceeding. Introduce yourself, then they'll feel free to continue.
My name is Peter Maluleke. I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you. Proceed.
Mr. Maluleke, my name is Michelle Constant.
Oh, okay.
Introduce myself. And this is our board member.
I listen to that name almost every day.
Oh, I don't know about that.
And the voice.
So our vision is to attract corporate sector support for the arts and for culture, whether financial or in-kind. And we do focus quite strongly on in-kind support as well at the moment, particularly in the current economic climate. We often find that businesses are not necessarily able to offer the kind of financial support that they may have been able to offer in the past. So what we do try and drive is in-kind support. Our aim is to really lift the profile of arts and artists in South Africa, and to promote, as to our mission, mutually beneficial, equitable, sustainable business arts partnerships that will, over the long term, benefit the broader community. And it is very much part of our vision and our belief that the arts do benefit the broader community, and that they're not simply something that operates within a vacuum in their own small world. We think that they can impact on our heritage, they can impact on who we are in terms of nation building, and we truly believe that they do impact on our economy as well. Our strategy over the last year, and as Mr. Gumbe mentioned, I have been with Business and Arts South Africa for a year, and in the year our strategy has been the following, And I've said to 2010 as well, because I would like to kind of look quite briefly into the future as well as we go forward. Our strategy has been to restructure our internal organization, to grow institutional marketing and value of organization for our members. We believe that this is crucial. To grow an equitable partnership between business and arts. This is obviously an ongoing strategy and something that we work on consistently in our process. And also, as we go further into the future, I'm not sure why it says 1123, but my apologies, is to diversify our funding model as we go into the future. I think that this is something that's going to be crucial as we go forward as as the organization that we are. In terms of restructuring our internal organization, these are the things that we have done over the last year. We brought in an HR consultant really to scope the terrain and also to restructure positions of our staff members. We worked very strongly on what our staff KPAs were to look at the future, to look at where they would like to go in terms of their own growth trajectory, and we've developed those quite intensely, I suppose one could say. We've created a much larger formal HR policy document. There has always been an HR policy document at Business and Arts South Africa, but we have extended it and we've added areas to that as well. We've focused on staff training. We have recently appointed a Western Cape representative, and in fact, you won't find that in the annual report because at that point we were still looking looking at that job position. We do currently have members in KwaZulu-Natal and the Eastern Cape, and obviously we would like to expand further than that as well. We've recently appointed a marketing and operations manager. At the beginning of probably a few months in, we created an internship program. So we have that, and our first intern actually ends her year in December, which is very, very exciting. We've also brought on board, very fortunately, a pro bono HR consultant who from this point onwards will be providing us with pro bono work. She's very in tune with the entire staff team. So if there are issues within the organization,
every time you feel like you need a glass of water, an honorable member arrives and that quenches the thirst. Honorable member, we've all introduced ourselves. This is your time just to tell our guests who you are.
I'm Eunice Nyalungu from Mpumalanga. I'm here on the Department of on the portfolio of Arts and Culture. Thank you.
Tit for tat and patter for tat. You want to tell her who you are?
Yes, Mr. Nyalungu, apologies. I'm Michelle Constant.
And this is our board member, Mr. Kwanele Gobe.
Proceed.
As I mentioned, we have brought on pro bono HR support. We've also brought on specifically for Business and Arts itself pro bono legal advice as well. Now, that legal advice is also available to arts organizations. If there are arts organizations who require legal advice, we do go through Beljua and Weber Wenzel, and they are able to advise. So, for example, things of contracts, issues around contracts for arts organizations and artists. We've just had an issue with a crafter in the Eastern Cape who had been offering her work for free but had been expecting to be paid, and was not sure what the legal issues were around that, and we did have our support engaged with that issue. So that would be the internal organization as part of our strategy. As I said, also we looked this year specifically at growing the institutional marketing and value for our members. We did feel very strongly that we are in a challenging economic time, and that we needed to grow the value for our members so that they were able to see why it was important for them to be part of Business and Arts in South Africa, which the list of which included the appointment of a marketing and operations manager. We now send out a monthly e-bulletin to all our members. In that e-bulletin, we focus on best case practice. We look at case studies and projects that businesses have been working on. We look at art projects that are available for funding and for sponsorship. We focus on projects that have recently received supporting grants. And we really just give a breakdown of what's going on in the arts environment in that particular bulletin for our members. We also do regular email support for arts organizations now. We feel that, importantly, there are a lot of things happening that a lot of arts organizations don't know about because they're not tapped into the broader database of information. So we have started out, and we have a large database of arts organizations. We start emailing them information about either events, about job availability, job opportunities, bursaries, sponsorships, etc. So whatever comes into our resource, through our resources, we then put out to arts organizations as well. For our members, we offer eventing and networking. We offer all our members the opportunity to attend events with whichever province they are in. We provide them with tickets to events. And I suppose more bespoke events as well, as if you were interested in going to see, to speak to the director of a project, we would then set up something that you could then, after the show, then meet the director, find out more about the process, etc. We're very focused on research. I believe that this is a time to really start looking at the terrain that we are engaged with and look at it very, very closely. We have, in fact, just finished our latest arts track research. And that particular research comes out every 2 years. And what we do with that is we engage with all our members, we discuss with all our members where they are putting their money, etc. And we put out a research document on who's funding what, where the money is going, why it's going, what is the public interest in the arts, what is the public interest in businesses, who is most recognizable. It's extremely valuable to our members. In fact, I know for quite a few of them, they find it probably one of the highlights of being a member of BASA. It gives them access and information about the environment they're working in. It also gives them a level of access and information about their competitors as well. So we work, as I say, that particular document has we've just got that in now, and we'll be releasing that to our members in the next month. We are also working very closely with the Department of Arts and Culture on a research project. We are hoping, we're not sure yet, it is part of the ODA international funding. We're hoping to be the implementing agency to really scope out the funding terrain right now in the country. Who are the funding agencies? What are they doing? What are the private funding agencies? What are the issues around public-private partnerships? What are the challenges that need to be going forward? What are the issues about urban, peri-urban, and rural funding, and how do we engage with those challenges? So we have applied for that, and we are all hoping for the very best, because I think it's an important document to come out and to really start understanding what is happening. Media support. We have a variety of media partners who we engage with. The aim of that is really to try and get arts into the mainstream. We are concerned that the arts tend to remain on the outskirts of debate and discussion, and we are trying to position it in a way that it becomes more mainstream and more accessible and more available to the broader public and the broader community. We are currently engaging with the Ilanga newspaper as a new media partner in KwaZulu-Natal. OFM are looking to come on board, and we have also just signed BizCom, which is a website as well. So they focus particularly on businesses as well. So that's one of our advocacy. We continue to work with government closely and attempt to change certain policies that we believe are important, for example, Section 18A. So we continue on that side. Best case seminars is something we have just started about 6 months ago, 8 months ago. And the aim of this is really to start showing businesses and arts organizations what the value is of what it is and what the challenges is of what it is, what it means to fund an arts organization. And we've had a lot of requests for this actually from business, because I think a lot of them feel that they don't always get to see where it works in a best case situation. So for example, our first one was with the Joburg Art Fair, which is funded, a large sum of money funded by F&B. Now, F&B, in fact, sponsor it, but they don't have the naming rights. So at the seminar that we had, the post-art fair seminar, we had arts organizations, we had galleries, we had artists, we had local government, the Joburg government, we had media, and we had the funders as well as the organizers. And what became quite clear was that certainly for some of the funders, they are concerned that without the naming rights, they don't get the kind of coverage that they would like to see. So those are the kinds of issues that we're identifying and addressing and focusing on in these particular practices. Our awards are annual awards, the Business Day BASA Awards supported by Anglo-American. We had our most recent one on the 31st of August, which was attended, and our keynote address was by the Minister of Arts and Culture. And these are really to pay tribute to businesses who are doing interesting things and exciting things within arts and culture. And not necessarily big things. Some of them are very small projects, but some of them are very, very, very exciting projects as well. I mentioned BizCom a little earlier. ArtsLink is another one of the websites that we are connected to. ArtsLink is really for arts organizations and anybody, media, who is interested in the arts. So we feel that at the moment we have two great websites which we're now covered on, which would be ArtsLink and BizCom. The one focuses on the arts, the other one focuses on BizCom. Both of them quite recent additions. And what we do is we make sure that we put out press releases about projects that are taking place and that are happening as often as possible. Generally, we put out a press release about once a week, focusing on businesses that are doing amazing things or focusing on projects that are amazing and that are exciting.
Maybe I'm alone. During my time at school, the word bespoke was not in the dictionary yet. What does it mean?
Oh, the bespoke service. And in fact, I left that out. My apologies. The bespoke service for us is it's a service which is catering and tailored especially for you.
My suit is bespoke.
Your suit is bespoke?
What?
My suit is bespoke.
Please do a teacher's job. I'm listening.
You must be earning a lot of money to have a it's designed specifically. So an example of that would be if one of our members came to us recently, and they worked in children's art, and they felt that they needed to go further with that particular project, but they weren't quite sure where to go. So what we would then do is we create a much broader plan for them. We network them with other people who are doing the same kinds of projects. So it's really about creating a plan for them which is specifically engaging to them and for their needs.
You see the disadvantage of going to school in the Middle Ages when some words were not there yet. Thank you, Proceed.
And then the final thing on this is the relaunch of our website. We have relaunched our website, and we update it daily, and we're able to update it internally, which has been a huge thing because historically it was never updated internally, which is a costly affair if you're going to push it out to someone else. So we have brought it inside. We do update it daily. We do look at Twitter. We have got Twitter. We do look at the blog. So we are trying to just market ourselves in a much broader sense. We're very excited about the website. We had, in our first month, we had something like 4,500 now I always get confused between page views and hits. I think it was 4,500 page views as opposed to hits. I mean, I could hit it 4,500 times on my own, but I can't. But 4,500 people need to do a page view. So we were very excited about that, to see that that was the case. What we are finding is a lot of people are coming back, and we expect that that may be the case around the new information that's coming in, and perhaps they're finding that information valuable. We hope so. Really looking at the value for our stakeholders, and by stakeholders we do mean government, business, and the arts community. We have the supporting grant scheme, and I will have a diagram that I'd like to show you just to explain exactly how that supporting grant scheme works. Special projects, I will explain that as well. That's the BASA Basics, National Arts Festival, Moshita, and South African Theatre Initiative, the Business Day BASA Awards, the BALA World Mentorship Program. We have 33 mentors currently working on that program. ArtsTrack Research, the EmpoweredX Board Bank, which I'll talk to you about in a moment, the Best Case Seminars and the Consulting Service, the Advocacy, and obviously looking to drive change now. We do believe that BASA is about growing from seed to strength to sustainability, and we feel that if our three members are government members and arts organizations,
The members, as you can see, we have small, medium, and large. We have just introduced friends as well, because we've, I think that what's really important is to start growing the idea of volunteerism and philanthropy within the arts. And we are hoping that through friends we are able to do that. We're also finding that there are quite a few people who work in business, either as individuals or in large corporates, who are not able to get their stakeholders and their shareholders to engage with business and the arts, but they are interested. So we charge them the small membership fee, which is a nominal amount. It's R1,500 a year. And they are able to get the majority of value that all other members can get, but it also means that we can often get them on board very easily as mentors and in other places as well. We see BASA as the connector of those three. Now, this is something that we are concerned about, and I thought I'd just put it in quickly. Is our concern is that arts organizations are often going directly straight to members in this desperate attempt to get funding, and often they do themselves a huge disservice in that they're not always able to speak the language, I suppose would be the best way of saying, speak the language of business. I mean, business speaks a completely different language to the arts, in the same way that government speaks a very different language to business, whatever the case may be. So what we try to do is we try to create a much more holistic sense of how business and arts works and what that process would be so that we can address all the needs of all the stakeholders and get to the final outcome, which would be more arts sponsored by more people in a much broader community. So we've spoken to you about what we offer our members. I do want to add very quickly, I did say it in the annual report, but we're so proud of it. I mean, it's kind of a small thing, but it's quite fun as well. It's the Sharks. The rugby team have now become a member of Business and Arts South Africa, and that we have managed to work this year. We think this is absolutely fantastic because there's a lot of friction within the arts and the sporting communities as to who gets the funding, who gets the sponsorship, etc. So what we thought was, let's try and engage with them and see if we can't create a model here, which we are looking to now expand. We've got someone approaching the Western, our reps, who's it down here? Not the blue booth, that does. So what we've done with the Sharks, and I'm completely delighted, is they have now created poster stands at the entrances to the Shark Tank. So all the theatre productions within KwaZulu-Natal are able to approach our rep and just say, can we please think? And then their posters go into the poster stand. So at the actual event, everybody who goes to watch the Sharks match, they'll get to see the shows that are on in KwaZulu-Natal at that particular time, particularly in eThekwini. Then they, when they're actually in the stands and they're watching the match, in the program itself, there are adverts for shows that are happening in eThekwini as well. And in fact, we have organized, and I haven't seen this yet, but that on the actual big screen as well during the, I'm not a big rugby, sorry, during the pause, whatever that is, During halftime, they would in fact give away tickets as well to shows. So for us, that's just a really interesting way of re-engaging with something that is quite challenging, quite problematic. And how do we grow new markets? Because for us, that's really, really important. So that was something I just wanted to mention. So if we have to look at this relationship here, which would be government and members, we obviously this is a public-private relationship, and we are very aware of this, and we're very aware of the challenges here. And we are definitely trying to grow these kind of relationships. We're currently, in fact, engaging with Levi's and the Department of Arts and Culture for the Midem Festival. We're hoping that it still comes off. We're not yet sure, but we're hoping that Levi's will provide all the clothing, which will be which we're going to work with some fashion crafters, and they will create specially designed jeans with crafters from around the country for Midem. So we're hoping that that project comes off. We like working on that at the moment. We understand that government has a very specific strategic framework over the next 3 years, and we're very aware of what that is, and we recognize that through Business and Arts South Africa, we need to engage with that. It's also for us absolutely crucial because it does take us through the greater holistic process, and that would be upskilling and empowerment and focusing on peri-urban and rural communities. This is a very challenging area. You know, a lot of businesses are not that easy to persuade to put their money into projects which go into urban, rural areas because they're afraid they're not going to get the marketing and publicity. that they often require. So we feel that in this particular area, the strength would be to start upskilling and empowering so that artists themselves start to learn how to go not to the huge organizations, but to the much smaller organizations that are within their areas. And that's what we're more interested in. So, for example, if there is a small spa on the corner, it's much easier to engage with the spa than it would be to try and come to Joburg and engage with the MTN. It's just a much longer process. So we want to try and engage that. How we've done that is we've started, and this is very small, we only started it about 8 months ago, 6 months ago, something we call BASA Basics, and we focus specifically on the development of mission and vision. We're very, very concerned that there are a lot of artists, specifically artists as opposed to arts organizations, who may not have a voice or a vision. And so really what we look at these workshops as is to try and understand what is your voice, what is your vision. If you are a visual artist, where do you want to be in 5 years' time? What are the processes that you may engage in order to do that? We've started that, as I say, very, very small within our own offices. It's a challenge again because people need to get to us. We are hoping to try and grow it, but we are going to need to get funding around it. We've seen some success from it. It's a very, very slow process. And we are hoping to take this further to KwaZulu-Natal as well to work with the... That's my 20 minutes.
No. Okay, because none of us knows what it means, proceed to round up.
Thanks. Okay. Also approaching, part of this is our arts education project. We are we work very closely with Room 13, which is a national project aiming to bring arts into schools. There are currently 13 or 14 schools that have this project taking place around the country. I think it's an amazing project. It's run out of TBWA, the ad agency, but we do ring-fence certain monies for them through Vodacom and, well, currently Vodacom. They have, in fact, funded it again. We are also looking at this area around children's arts competitions, and a lot of our smaller projects come through the Arts Education Project. So we did a small supporting grant for the Africa Meets Africa project, which uses art to Ndebele art to teach mathematics. Brilliant project. We also have looked at bursaries from various different arts organizations that go through this particular area. So for us, that's an area. Once we feel that once we can go from there, it's possible to go into something which is maybe a little bit more engaged, where you are focusing around the business of marketing, business marketing, financial, networking, sponsorship. To this end, what we've done is we have started developing relationships with a variety of festivals around the country, including Moshito, including the South African Theatre Initiative, including the National Arts Festival. And the aim is to grow this further. I would like to see us in virtually every arts festival that takes place around the country. If we can take our trajectory correctly, that's what we need to do. As part of that, we run a series of workshops. So those workshops run for a week. As I say, they are probably they're a lot more advanced than the BASA Basics program. We are looking at issues around putting business plans together, financial development, how do you network? How do you market? What is social media? How do you engage with the media? So it's a series of workshops that runs over a week. So, for example, the National Arts Festival, where we did it for the first time this year, what was amazing was they set up every evening they set up introductions to the National Arts Council, to the British Council, to various different players in the industry, both nationally and internationally, and offered the networking opportunity for artists and arts organizations who were attending. I think this is a big one. I think that this is going to be... this one takes you to the Barlow World Mentoring Program. That's our artworks program. As I mentioned, we have 33 mentors around the country and growing. This is really the in-kind support that I'm talking about. People who are very interested in the arts but may not have money, but they have huge skills and really great skills in terms of marketing, in terms of financial support, in terms of administrative support. It's an equal partnership. This. We are very, very careful not to put any expectation into our artists that they will be driven by that mentor. it is a one-on-one equal partnership, and very successful, I might add. It's a great, great project that. Board Bank South Africa, Empoweredx Board Bank South Africa. This was created prior to my starting. We have had two board banks this year. It is supported, as I say, by Empoweredx. And it's a little bit like speed dating. So what happens is...
You have 5 minutes of more grace.
5 minutes of more grace. Okay. Really what happens at the Empoweredx Board Bank is that we find young black professionals who are interested in sitting on arts organizations, and arts organizations pitch to them. And we, what we're trying to do is we're trying to grow more young black professionals sitting on boards. We're also giving them the opportunity to grow their corporate skills and providing the arts organizations with real professional skill as well. And that's the legal support. That takes us finally to our supporting grant, which is the final end of this entire process. By the time you get to the end of this process and you're applying for a supporting grant, it's much, much easier for you to approach a business. You understand the processes, you understand the relationship. The crucial part of the supporting grant is that it is not about topping up or anything else. It is really, importantly, about leveraging the relationship between business and the arts. We use that money that we give to arts organizations so that they can market their business partners, so that they can market themselves, so that they can put themselves out there and make it valuable for both of them, which would be the business and the partner. Finally, I did mention diversifying our funding structure. These, you know, we are looking, we have government, small business, small to medium business, and large. Friends of ours, so the bespoke consultancy is something that we are looking at in the way forward, where we would start to charge our members if we are looking at engaging with them on a much broader level. The membership fees are very, very low. We don't feel that we can, in this current climate, just raise them dramatically, and which is why we are currently looking at the possibility of creating a bespoke consultancy where members would pay should they need very specific information, which would take quite a bit of time to research. We're a very small organization, so we don't necessarily have the resources to just research large projects for what would really be a nominal amount of money. And that's it.
Any critical additions that you think should have been mentioned?
I think Mr. Chairperson, our CEO has covered all things as far as what we would like to present on top of the annual report. I think more will come through the discussion and engagement we're going to have now, where I'll be adding input onto the various aspects that the committee might feel they need clarity on or suggesting on.
Are you satisfied that we have listened? We've had...
I'm under that impression, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you. Sometimes people leave, they say we can't understand why we're even given an opportunity to come and present, because we were not given adequate time to present what we have. Thank you, honorable members. Let's begin with questions of clarity, like I asked the one about bespoke. Any question of clarity? If not, we can move into substantive questions, honorable members. Let us say at a given time, let a member ask two questions so that we can move to the others, and then we'll come back for another take. And so that will assist. Let's take five questions, at most two per member. Honorable Nyalung.
My question
Thank you. Another honorable member? Honorable.
Thanks, sir. You said we must only ask one question.
No, I said maximum of two.
Two.
And you get another cut of the cake.
So many questions. I have to choose now which one. With regards to the assistance for artists or the organizations that represent artists, you know, we normally have, and it's now almost fashionable in Parliament, what we will do whenever we only recognize artists when they're dead.
Mm.
You know, and we'll stand up there and make all those grand statements, how good they are, the legacy they leave, all those beautiful things. And yesterday in one of our meetings we were exploring, you know, what if we talk about helping artists, what is it that we need to do to really help our artists? What is it that you are perhaps doing, if there is anything that you are doing, to assist artists to run their profession as, you know, any other business, good business? You know, other things. Because I think this is also where business can play a very, very important role, you know, in making sure that whenever an artist has got a big gig with a big sum of money that came in, they don't rush to buy a 3-series BMW, but instead know that, you know, they can go on the whole year without any gig or so. So let me... Yeah, that would be the first. I thought after your presentation, your reminder that you're in the art of business and in the business of art, like you normally do from SAF.
Honorable Maluleke, you asked only one. I said you could ask two at a go. You can add another one.
I thought it was so long, so let me leave it there. I'll add the other one.
You'll come later.
Yeah. Okay, let me do it. You mentioned something about work in rural areas. When we, in fact, before this committee has appeared a number of people from what is known as your rural provinces, in KZN, and most of them would complain that resources are concentrated on housing. And then, but if you look at who the artists are who are benefiting from those resources that are concentrated in how they are actually from those provinces, because people go there and because they know that that's where, you know, where they have opportunities. So I really think that if we concentrate in rural areas, because we only know about good artists who come from these rural areas when they are in Joburg, and there are many, many more in these rural areas, but because of the lack of the media in those areas and all those glamorous things that goes with the art, we don't know them. And, you know, every artist in the rural area would, you know, their biggest wish would be to end up in Gauteng. And in so doing, we are not really contributing towards this, what we call rural development. You know, and in fact, if we create an environment in a rural area which will make people to want to stay in that area and contribute towards that development that we wish to happen in that area. So I just wanted to find out if, you know, how much really are we doing in that area. Thank you.
We have three questions. Let's take two more. Honorable Van der Waal.
She's from the rural area.
I'm definitely from the rural
area. That's our biggest street in Tshwane. Called Wall Street, passes near that Beggars Park Hotel.
I'm scared about the initial proposal change.
Yeah,
see,
and Pretoria.
That's my long time credential. Check this, and I think once again, like years before, one has to congratulate Business and Arts South Africa for unqualified report, and the way they always represent, it's hard to ask any questions after you presented and after you studied the documents. But I just, out of interesting sakes, that I wrote the annual report on the finance part under the unaudited information that you were given there, and I've just highlighted just two things out of curiosity, and the one was the increase on your auditor's remuneration was about 80,000, I think, if I remember it correctly, more or less, or 60-odd. And the other thing was on training. There was something that, there weren't anything budgeted for training. I was just curious about that. And then, obviously, I know how difficult it is to get through all the provinces. And just maybe to see how are you doing in provinces like Limpopo specific, where the chair and I originate from, because we do have amazing artists there, sculptors specifically, who are very battling, and how could we ensure that they can somehow be empowered or can benefit from your organization? Thank you.
We have four, and Prof. Lotriti, Honorable, you're coming in with another one to make them five. You can even ask two and make them six.
Thank you, Chairperson. I would just like to know, given the positive impact that the Room 13 project has on schools and children and society, is anything being done to expand that, to replicate it at other schools? Is it possible?
Yes. Thank you. Time for responses.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will just take the broader ones, and I would leave the management issues to Michelle. And let me just pick out the one on the dynamics of rural areas, the support we give to the arts in those areas. And Michelle will speak to, based on history as well as how we've been receiving applications. What we've normally realized as the Business and Arts South Africa is that, first and foremost, we have a very limited budget. We're a young organization which has got a lot more capacity than the resources we have. So we are in a unfortunate position where we can do more, but we have less. Most of our money comes from government, and we are busy promoting for more money, and every other organization is on the same boat, and our pleas have not been responded positively as yet. This then gives meaning towards how far our impact and our reach can be. As you would know, the last 18 months to 24 months have been particularly difficult from an economic point of view, where you're finding that companies are a bit more tighter with their funding, which is where we sit as a crossroad. We bring arts, we bring government, and as well as we bring commerce into the whole thing. And when commerce is fringing and government is also not letting go, the artists will find less in the project that can be funded and developed. Our plan has always been to be a national organization, to hit all nine provinces. In our supporting grant schemes, our call is made nationally. Anyone can apply. But we've picked up from trends, from historical data, where there are certain provinces do not apply, in particular Limpopo. You rarely find somebody picking up an application and applying to us, let alone us saying no. And we have tried. And as you know, that the organization has got a couple of people not even getting to 10, sometimes to go to those regions is costly, and you've got to balance it based on what you can and cannot do, and hence our limited success in those areas. Johannesburg has been a traditional area in terms of people applying. We've even gotten to the point where, as a board and as management, we don't simply say no to an application. We instead, when there's things that we don't understand or we need, we send it back. And we say, please provide further details so that we can assist as far as we can to leverage that sponsorship with whatever else than the supporting grant we have. And we've been doing that with great difficulty. And the national focus on rural areas has added an extra requirement, which is focused, but it's not complemented by the resources. And it's a hard reality. The new minister has been made aware that we need more money. We are requesting more money because we can do more. We are trying to speak to the lotteries as well, because before this, there's always been that Section 21, Catch 22. You must spend your money before you ask for more. And sometimes when you spend all your money and you haven't had an approval yet, there's a gap. It means you'll close. Your list will be cancelled. Everyone will sit at home before approvals happen. So these are all regulatory things that we find the organization having to work under, which then affect some of the key areas which we would like to see. And Michelle will speak to more details on this, but I just wanted to sensitize that this is the balancing act we have to do on a daily basis. And often we find that we are starting to say, you know what, it's important to start saving money. And it's important that each financial year you've got a buffer, or what we call a surplus, which we can use whilst we are waiting for an approval or another grant, which then affects some of your processes and the work you are doing, particularly in outlying areas where if you have to reach, you need to spend a little more money, because you need to build up the market, the awareness of who we are, as well as get the people on board and the support, so that they support their work and we support them with the networks that we can give them, so that South Africa can be richer in the space that we occupy. I just wanted to just give that picture so that in whatever we request and we engage on, that is always in the back of our mind. Sure.
Thank you for your questions. Honourable Nyalongo's question around Room 13. The first thing I must clarify about Room 13 is that it is not our project. Room 13 is a project which is owned by TBWA, but we do support them on their drive for funding. But just to answer your question, it is specifically for previously disadvantaged schools, and it is specifically national. So they do look at schools around the country nationwide. So they have got schools in the majority of the provinces at this point. Apropos, a further question about that was the issue of expanding. In fact, we are currently in engagement with two of our members who work with youth and the arts. In fact, it was the one I mentioned a little earlier, where they are having a problem and they're not quite sure what the next step would be, and so we are looking at seeing if Room 13 would be a project that they'd like to take and work with as well. It is a wonderful project. I don't know if anybody of you know any more about it, but it's quite amazing, to such a point that we've got schools where the teachers themselves go as well to the art classes, which I think is fantastic, because if it does mean that possibly the teachers then become teachers of art, that would be an amazing thing on a kind of basis. Assistance for artists, I think that's a crucial thing, this issue of artists who die, and then, I mean, we've just seen that now with Mr. Winston Mankunku, and I think that is a huge challenge. Our challenge is that we have a certain mandate, so we're not always able to go beyond our own mandate. But we do believe very strongly that half our actions. I'm scared it's going to be a fire or something. I'm sure you'll just try that. No, I'm teasing. What we
if there's a fire,
you
the third person will determine who goes out first. They're in that situation and there's no room for democratic opposition.
When the Titanic goes down.
Thank you.
And apropos that, we do.
Good luck has nothing to do with us, no?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so next time you want dreams,
can just carry on.
You can carry on.
All right, thank you. There's a question around what it is that we are doing for artists. We have specifically focused on that this year. We do feel very strongly that in this situation, the best thing that we can do is upskill and empower artists, which is why we have engaged with this festival workshop process, which goes around the countries. And as I said, we do have Moshita. We've done the festival workshop at Moshita, and in fact, what came out of that was one of the youngsters who attended that particular workshop now has a 25,000 rand scholarship to be trained and mentored by an organization. So we really are trying to find small ways of teaching and empowering. There's also, we do believe that the mentorship program as well is a massive way of offering artists skills and growing their skills. We've got some fantastic examples, if you would like, we can send them to you, of arts organization who've gone through the mentorship process and are now completely sustainable. It very much depends on the relationship. I mean, it's chemistry. If you don't like your mentor, or your mentor doesn't like you, you're pretty much stuck. You might as well just close it down and move on. But it's hugely successful. I mean, we're working with one at the moment, the Melody Music Trust, which comes out of Soweto, and they've just been mentored by someone at Rand Merchant Bank, who through their own network have managed to find him at an administrator, because he doesn't like administrating his own project. So they've all managed to kind of, they have incredible networks which are available. Mm. And everybody is able to approach us. I mean, we have an absolute open door policy on whether if you would like mentorship, we are open to doing that. I think that's absolutely crucial to that, and it kind of takes us to the next question, which is the question around the rural areas, is that certainly my concern after having arrived at Business and Arts South Africa was that I think that it was a bit like a secret handshake, and that perhaps not enough people knew about Business and Arts South Africa. And so what we've really spent this year doing is trying to market our institution to not only business, but also to the arts as well. And the best way to do that is to make sure that, you know, there's constant connection, constant interaction, which is why we've decided to get our workshops to all the festivals around the country. It's a slow process. We've only been at it for a year, but we've managed to do at least 4 or 5 festivals this year. So we'll get there. But as regards the issue around the rural areas, KwaZulu-Natal is a perfect example. It takes me back to us saying, and that's one of the reasons why we are engaging with the Ilanga newspaper, because we believe that engages with a very broad community. We also have a representative, for example, in KwaZulu-Natal, whose core business is to go out and find business to support those particular projects. I think that Mr. Gumbi is quite right when he says that our big issue is resources. We spend an enormous amount of money on travel. Our great strength is that we really do understand who's doing what, where, around the country. And we are a little hamstruck at times in terms of travel. So that is a big challenge. But, you know, we get around it. It's not like it's impossible. The unaudited information, yes, the increase in auditors, we have been concerned about that. And at our most recent audit committee meeting, there's been a decision that we need to start looking at other auditors to look at a cheaper, let's not say cheaper, because that would be an insult to auditors.
Affordable,
yeah. So we are aware of that. The training historically has been very much in kind, and in fact when I first started I also did that, where I would offer my services to a company on a workshop on the understanding that my staff could then attend. But subsequent to that, in our new budget that we have, you know, that started in April, we have included training funding, and in fact one of our staff members has just completed a course about a month ago. So that has been addressed. And then finally, the issue around the small regions, Giani and those. You are quite right. I mean, Giani has the greatest sculptors in the country, Philip Rukhotso, Nori Mabaso. The list goes on and on and on. And it goes back a little to our challenge, but I do want to say that we are doing tiny, small steps in that area, and I'm very, very proud of those steps. For example, we have supported various art exhibitions which have taken place in Polokwane. We've supported a workshop which took place in Polokwane this year. So we really are bit by bit trying to kind of get out there.
We're having a wonderful project that has come through by someone who recently became a member. It's a BMW dealership in Polokwane, and we facilitated that they have an art exhibition on their BMW floor, on the actual dealership floor. Philip Rochotso was one of the artists in that. Richard Chauke was another one, about four or five. But they were the artists who were exhibiting, proved to be enormously successful. The great thing that they said was that A, they sold more BMWs during the time that they had it on their floor, so they were very happy with that. And subsequently, they then had another art exhibition because of that within the year that I've been there. And they also said that what was extraordinary was that it created real staff empowerment. They felt that it was a great project for staff to kind of empower people as well. So it's a tiny project, you know, and we've got lots and lots of examples like that, which are really small projects, and they're not huge, huge sums of money, but they're ways of getting out there and very slowly, like, putting our footprint down into places which are not so close to the Gauteng province or the Western Cape or whatever the case may be. We are aware of that, and it's certainly one of our drives.
Thank you.
Sorry, Jeff. Do you just think on the criteria for schools?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I did address the criteria.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to do, may I quickly add something? I know I'm a bit of a, I'm sorry, I get a bit nervous and then I want to talk a lot, but I wanted to just add with the supporting grants, I don't know if you noticed, but the supporting grants is growing in terms of I suppose you could say the percentage to percentage. We are now kicking at about 1 million to 17 million, so which is in our annual report. So we're for the 1 million of supporting grants, we're getting 17 million of sponsorship. And we see that as the fact that artists are becoming a lot more media and business savvy. So in their approach to business, they really are starting to be able to engage with business in a great way. I would like to add, though, that 17 million, it does not cover all the sponsorship of the arts in the country, purely only those that come to us for a supporting grant. And, we see that. I think that that's really very important.
Thank you. We'll take a 5-minute break, and members will get another opportunity to engage. During the break, you can share with Honorable Nyalungu and the other members why you still say you are nervous. We thought by this time we've overcome that. So when we come back, that issue must have been resolved.
All right.
Thank you. Let's take 5 minutes.
I haven't, but I think I must add my voice to those who congratulated BASA on the unqualified support. But I want to commend them as well on the report itself. You know, we are so used to very glossy reports, and you always have a picture with you. And in some of the reports, it's either very qualified report. So people focus and spend more money on the report itself and the content. You know, you said you have a problem. I don't think mine is not much of a question.
a suggestion. In people applying for assistance, but, and you're wasting money going out on awareness campaign. You know, I know about BASA because of the work that your CEO is doing through FM. Mm-hmm. And I think it's reaching a very wide listenership on that program. Why don't we, especially if we look at the rural areas, use the local radio stations instead? You know, like what Michelle is doing with SAF, do that with your Palafara, what is it?
Palafara, Mungalalone.
Mungalalone, Ikwekwezi, and so on, you know. I think maybe that will assist. But I know you may be overwhelmed with applications, but I think you'd rather have that than, you know, let's look at what it is that is there, that exists, and utilize that rather than, you know, spending lots of money going on this campaign. I want to, maybe we can do that after this meeting, if possible. The request that we wanted from
Honorable Maluleka.
Yeah.
It's only so if you've got something that you think will be good enough outside to share it also here so that we can benefit.
Okay.
You might leave copper and go out with diamond.
Okay, I thought maybe it's not in line with the report that we presented, but it's good. At the OR International Airport, we were working at the airport when we had a what is it? ICU. At International ICU, International Parliamentary Union Conference here in Cape Town. And one of the people there, actually, when they heard that some of us were sitting on art and culture, you know, then they actually would like to have, you know, artwork at the end.
Is your mic on?
I don't know.
Yeah. It wasn't.
Yeah, so I think maybe if we could connect you with those people, it would be very helpful, because you can then, you know, look at your contacts in the preferably in all the provinces, and, you know, have some artwork from Limpopo, from KZN, and all the other provinces, you know, to the have it displayed there at the airport. And I think that will benefit the artists themselves a lot, you know, because they actually thinking of leasing the stuff and not buying it, and I think that would mean a constant, and you can always change that as well to give more artists the opportunity to benefit from it.
Works of
all the loan. Yeah, loan it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Honorable Van der Waal, you chopped in. What were you saying?
Yeah,
off
work on loan.
Yeah, loan.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Please, Honorable.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions to business, to arts and business, something like that. But you. Okay, thank you. You had data, a database for the artist, but because I remember there were a group of artists in Soweto, old, like the late Keith Mlezane, Eric Mbata, Malinga, they were very good artists. Now if you look at those guys, you see that they're doing nothing. Maybe if you have data, you can use them to our schools to mentor the children, because now in our school there's an art teacher who's teaching the children the art. If you are having that data, you can look back and ask yourself, where are these people? Because they were very good artist. I'm sorry because now Keith Mlezane, after he came back from Italy, he's late. Another question is that, you know, sometimes when you're bored, you watch TV. There's this program, Kiwi. Most of the people that say it's Chairperson Farasani, that is the twin brother, Joe Mafela, in that program.
The numbers, it's good, it's nice.
Now, if you look at Kiwi, that program, you look at this young, they are so good, you know? You know, you ask yourself that, because the Kiwi is doing that, the Kiwi polish for the advertising of Kiwi, you know? But you ask yourself, you look at this young kids that, you know, that dynamic they're performing, and you say, I wonder, the art and culture, they're watching this program or what, that you can identify the artists and groom them, you know, in that program. What are you doing? Maybe you can put some money, you know, in the program to make sure that it's done, because it's national. They're going to all schools, you know. And I want to know about your program that, yeah, because there are so many talented kids in our school. Because if you go to the kindergarten, first thing they teach our children to paint. You see, they're having blue and red, just making, we call it some operation, you know. They have to paint. But if they go to another school, a primary, and that thing is finished, no? And you can identify the good artist in the program. Are you going to our schools? You know, I know we talk about the budget, that your budget is limited. But if maybe can get funds and just visit the schools. Another question is this. You know, I heard you talk about Levi's, the designers, you know. Our women in our township, in our rural areas, they're designing beautiful things. You know, this material, we call it ishweshwe. You know, if you can look these women who are doing this ishweshwe, you can ask yourself that, but they're just designing, you know. And if you look at the designers, you can say, hey, the Levi's here, you can, you know, run, you know, because they are really designers. If you can just check all these things, you know. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable. More questions? Okay. While they respond to what we have, if you think of more questions and inputs, prepare them. It's back to business and arts, South Africa.
Thank you for the questions. As regards the community stations, the public broadcast stations, Ukhozi, Mhlobo Wenene, and the likes, it's something that we've been very, very interested in for a very long time. And we have an intention to approach Mr. Tami Ntenteni from the SABC to see if we can look at putting the information out onto those stations. We spoke of community stations earlier, but actually those are not community stations. Those are public broadcast stations with a much broader reach, and we're aware of those. The other thing that we are interested in, but it's a very long and quite arduous process, is to look at the community stations themselves, because we do think that those are engaged directly with the communities, and they'll be able to support, well, not with the large organizations of funding, but certainly with the small organizations. It's as natural as being able to say, I can go to my local spaza shop and they'll give me 5,000 rand for my production, which we're doing in the town hall right here. They can then come to us for a supporting grant on their 5,000 rand. And that's what we are looking at doing, and that's engaging specifically with community stations. So in terms of our media approach, we are very aware of, like, the sizes of the media, the functions of the different medias, and what they are. And as I mentioned earlier, we really are trying to engage with different media forms. So us engaging with OFM would be the very first time that Business and Arts South Africa has in fact engaged with a commercial station. But they're very keen, and their footprint is not just, you know, a small area in Bloemfontein. It's a massive, massive footprint, which goes into the Northern Cape, goes all over the place. So we're looking at those kind of projects. And I included the Langa newspaper with that as well. I have the idea of the Oliver Tambo, the OR Tambo International Airport. It's a wonderful idea. I do want to add, though, that there is something called Art Bank, which is currently operating out of Gauteng government, local government, provincial government, and it is a leasing structure. So this may be something that we can, in fact, suggest to them, because they do have a large collection of artwork that could then go into the airport. And I think for 2010, that's what we need. We need to see a lot more public art. If there's only one way that art engages during 2010, it won't be in terms of the public space. It won't be in terms of private galleries and that kind of stuff. We really do foresee as being physical public art in public spaces. My idea, which is completely ridiculous, but I'm going for it anyway, is that I want us to get a whole bunch of very old pianos and paint them with the South African flag and just put them all over the place so that people can play them. We'll just write "play me" on the top of the piano. Just, you know, to get people to kind of engage with culture in public areas and just enjoy it in a way that maybe they don't in the past. As regards the database of artists, the big thing about the database, obviously, is that it is artists who choose to be on our database, and that's a growing process, but it's a large database, I will add. And I think it's a very good idea in terms of what you're saying about mentors, certainly older artists, to mentor younger artists. I think that we are seeing quite a few much older artists who seem to have been left out of the kind of commercial loop and who are rather not interested in being in that particular commercial loop, and so we're interested in finding ways of engaging with them. And I think that certainly to have them as mentors, to have them as teachers, would be a very, very good idea. It would be an excellent idea. As regards us grooming children, we are only able to do what we're able to do. So we do focus on specific projects which we know have massive outreach. And obviously for us, if we could grow that further, and we can grow that further, we will. Oh, and I wanted to add, as apropos the Levi's, I think you're quite correct, is that we have the most extraordinary craft in this country. I mean, our country's craft is not craft, it's art. Some people will say that the Kaskara artworks that you have here in Parliament, some people will talk about that as craft, but that is not craft, that is pure art. And in fact, what's happened recently, in the last two years maybe, Sanlam Fashion Week has been working very closely with the Department of Arts and Culture and also crafters around the country to create relationships between fashion designers and crafters. And we've seen a lot of that come out in the past 2 years of fashion in this country, very, very beautiful stuff, which has been just taken it a step beyond just being fashion. It's actually become art, pure art with South African crafters. So that's a very nice project that's going ahead.
Chairperson and the honourable members, I would like to add a few things. I think the first one I want to touch on is the one that speaks of the airports. Mm. You know, it is so difficult to have a government entity speaking to a government-funded entity in South Africa. And sometimes this is where the irony of the whole thing is. Because if we can't speak to each other in terms of being entities, we miss the opportunities. We can clearly tell you now, AXA owns the space, and AXA is a government-owned parastatal. And it shouldn't be difficult to benefit our artists by using those platforms around all provinces. But between now and next year until we meet, I can tell you now we'll have exchanged so many emails at face value. That's how difficult it is. Often it would be nice to take some of these platforms when we make our deliberations with any other institutions and put them at the center as to what we are doing. Because they are there for South Africans. They are owned by the South African government for South African people. So in our deliberations on the side, I'm almost pricking you to say, just have that in the back of our minds, because it makes the dialogue between us as institutions a lot more easier when those that run those institutions feel unthreatened by our requests to benefit those whose mandate we've been given to pursue. The second and last thing, the annual reports are always retrospective, unfortunately. The reason why I say unfortunately is because what's done is done. You cannot change it. We are about to go to 2010. And in all our discussions, we haven't mentioned much of it. And I understand why, because we are here because of the annual report. It would be useful if we can be called back here with the Minister or Ministry of Arts and Culture and the Portfolio Committee as institutions and present to you a plan of what we'd want to do in the arts and culture sector for next year. Long before we do it, long before mistakes happen, long before there are exclusions and inclusions that ought not to be or be there. It's just a personal request I'm making, and where it finds sympathy, please pursue it. Because often we do things after the fact, and we've already lost the opportunity. And we'd be happy. You have a much bigger role, and you can call anyone here, and would be willing, certainly as BASA, together with any other institution that has a similar mandate, to present the United Arts and Culture Program for 2010, outside all our reports, so that when we report next year, we see what we've discussed before you, what we've implemented, what our reports contain. We almost have the assurance before the days come that this is what we can do, and we are happy with the product that we'll be serving to the rest of the world.
Honorable,
if you allow me, Chair, just a follow-up. Axel, of course, but I'm sure if you write to Dr. Franklin Suen as the chairperson, I think, of Axel still, as a change now. That's a pity, because Franklin was quite an art lover and knowledgeable person, but maybe you should persuade that route anyway, because I'm sure he could have influence.
That would be great.
I'm not talking on his behalf, I don't think he would appreciate it, but I know that he has quite an interest in art.
An honorable member is a representative of the people and can rightly represent them without fear of contradiction and legal suit. Thank you very much. Does help. I have a few comments too. These are not closing remarks. I join those who applaud you for the unqualified auditor's report. For how long has been this quality of governance in finances? And how do you intend to sustain this laudable status? You are 12 years old, and what have been the main successes and the challenges? And how can we help, besides the ones that you've shared with us? In other words, I'm saying you need not repeat yourselves. Now, if we have 5 years to work with you, what are your projected 5-year priorities? And one might like to see how those priorities address the government chosen priorities. Talk about creation of decent jobs. It's the collective conviction of this portfolio committee that in arts and culture we can create lots of possibilities around jobs. In your report, you do touch on skills development, on arts education and other things. Do you really in your strategies, short term, medium term, and long term, have mechanisms that can tell us more or less what the outcomes can be year after year, and say by the end of the 5-year term, how much you could have assisted to enrich this country with art and culture skills? When we talk of culture, we always remember that according to our constitution, traditional leaders are regarded as custodians of culture, and I don't know whether you relate with them at all, and if so, how do you do so? It's also the collective wisdom of the portfolio committee that art and culture can play a very important role. I see you've touched on HIV and AIDS, but we believe that art and culture can be a powerful instrument, whether in music or drama, you name it, to actually promote a very effective battle against HIV and AIDS. You name it, not only HIV and AIDS. Not only for the others or the audiences, but sometimes we suspect that some of our artists die because they themselves, with the kind of fame they achieve, get exposed to some dangers that actually affect their very existence. So, we'd be interested to know that. I see in your report you're talking about the 2010 Art and Culture Committee.
Yes, yeah, the Communications Committee.
Okay, would like to hear a little more about that. Now, another priority for this government, for this department, is also in the area of fighting crime and corruption. We believe that in art and culture we can find ways to deal with this challenge. I mean, let's not forget that crime and corruption is not only found in government and parastatals, it's found everywhere, including in the corporate sector, everywhere. So, and the other crime we've identified is the exploitation of the artists. Where people work hard and their art disappears, they are never refunded, even if some articles are taken away from them, so that they could be assisted in selling them. The ridiculously low prices, and the theft of intellectual rights, we call them that, whatever rights. We believe that together, underlined together, we can work towards empowering the artists so that they are not so easily vulnerable. I'm happy that I've seen something that suggests business management, financial management. Even if some of the artists do make big money sometimes, unless you have got skills to look after that money, things just fall apart, and when you die, it's only then we hear you are very poor and yet you have received the money over a period of time. The area of rural development and transformation is critical for this government. So, as far as I'm concerned, no amount of argument and reasoning can convince us to remain in Cape Town and Durban and Johannesburg and Polokwane, you name it, Pretoria, Tswane, you name it. It is almost a prophetic call that the rural areas have been ignored enough, and enough is enough. We need to robustly move in that direction and get out of town without destroying that which is in town. But we need to get out of town and interact with the rural areas there. So you and rest assured that when you come back, because we will invite you again and you remind us to invite you, would like to hear more positive and progressive results in this area. Your strategies in protecting your financial ability are impressive. I read the line in your document when you say you pushed aside the funds or surplus that would look after you for at least 6 months when battling other challenges. This is it reminds me of the biblical Joseph in Egypt, the seven rain years, good years, and the seven poor years. We must strategize to deal with challenges and crises. You cannot just think that every day will be like the following day. Things do change. So I'm impressed by that. The e-newsletter, honorable members, do you get it yourselves? The e-newsletter. So, would you be angry with them if they send that to you too? Okay. So, they send them directly, including the one who's chairing, to get that e-newsletter. Be patient with me. I'm raising these issues because unless we attach flesh to the skeleton, it's just like another talk shop. It doesn't really take us forward. And these are not my creations. I'm taking from your own wisdoms that you have shared with us here today. The other thing should be to the traffic. You visit Parliament and you do the programs, offices in some provinces, that kind of thing, and these members come from different areas. So if you know who comes from where, well, you can sometimes visit as a portfolio committee, but open your doors up for honorable members so that if they are in Limpopo or wherever, they can interact with your people on the ground there. There's nothing as educative as getting in touch with a grassroots experience. It goes way beyond the projector that we've been looking at today. You've talked about tickets to functions and possibility to discuss with the directors. I think the best way we can represent those people is if and when we sometimes meet them. And they now are accessible. And they are also accessible. So when we get some of those functions and so forth, we can't promise we'll always make it. But if you let us know, sometimes it becomes possible that we interact. We talked about at the end of going through your report three times. I think the categorization of programs is still a little, underlined, a little scattered. Maybe it does help really when, for example, in art you categorize what types of art and that kind of thing, the kind of things you deal with. Even if there are 2,000 categories, but you can see what your priorities will be because it's not possible to deal with everything at the same time. So I think in that area we need some refinement. If you are into marketing, it's still a very weak area, especially for the rural areas and previously disadvantaged people. The area of marketing, and I know what I'm talking about. There are lots of artists out there who have great talent and quality, but who don't even begin to understand how to market themselves. You didn't really say much, if anything, about Africa meets Africa. And you know South Africa is in SADC, and SADC is in the African Union, and so forth. And we've got artists from Zimbabwe, from DRC, you name them, performing here, and our artists crossing the borders to do that kind of thing. So maybe we need to look at also a program to deal with cross-border, cross-pollination.
I can actually talk on that.
Cross-pollination of ideas. You said something about the relationship between sport and culture. I think this committee can also learn from you on how you handle this relationship. I saw something, you told me also about 2010. And sometimes we have joint committee meetings with sports and recreation. But you seem to be ahead of us in that area. You are congratulated for a manageable report, executive report kind of, executive summary kind of report. That means you're not just showing off, you're sharing what actually needs to be shared. But I was concerned about the pictures and to edit pictures so that I know the CEO and who are the board members. It's not illegal and unconstitutional if you have them. But if those pictures become more important than the content, then you have an imbalance there that really is worrisome. But it's history, it's part of history, sometimes to have those pictures, to know who did what when, from what period. And I think people touch on the relationship between the SABC and I want to believe community radio stations. Remember, the SABC, in the area of culture, can help us to pursue the vision of the department to build a cohesive nation and also assist us in nation building. So, and it's also critical when it comes to art and culture, but this media, which covers all the languages of this country, that every group among our people can say our culture is recognized. The work is happening already, but I think there's room for improvement. Other countries have gone to war because some groups felt they were being marginalized and ignored. The role of this committee is to ensure that our people don't go to war because they are marginalized. The other thing that is tricky, maybe to discuss with you and also with the Department of Education, people who teach art and the cultural things be very open-minded themselves. Because if you're not open-minded, you will interpret art that's not yours and culture that are not yours for a tribal or racial spectacles. And you can actually discourage and drive experiences. You can discourage learners from learning because of your attitude. And you see your own myths and standards from your race or culture to denigrate other cultural traits. So I think this thing we need to take seriously as we handle issues that affect our people. The art bank thing is very interesting. I don't know how many honorable members knew that there was an art bank. A bank is a bank. Once people talk about a bank, doesn't matter what's actually kept there, but it's a serious place. Because one wants to get interested in this art bank, where do the variety of things come from? Do they come from all over the country? Do they only come from there? Or is there a need to decentralize the bank to other areas too, to make this accessible to the people? The issue with AXA, we hear about from almost every presentation we get. So I think that one area where we can interact and assist. And if 2010 is only 200 days away, that means the sooner we interact with ACTRA in this area, the better. There's division of labor, but nobody should use their powers to frustrate others in their rightful area of competency. You made a request for us to call you again. I will be happy, especially to listen to your plan for 5 years, to listen to what you're going to do in 2010, and also to find areas of assistance where your dreams can come true. Did I see a hand? Okay. So maybe I saw a hand that will be raised in the next presentation. Thank you very much. Just select a few areas and respond. You don't have to respond to everything.
Yes, let me respond. I'll respond on the Africa Meets Africa. We have, in fact, started investigating the possibility of creating a business and arts South Africa model for other countries on the African continent. The reason that we've done this is because we have been, in fact, approached by a variety of countries from the African continent, Rwanda being one of them, as to how we've created this model and how we can take it further. So this is a very recent thing that's come through to us in the last couple of months, and it was very much in line with the Art Summit, which took place in Johannesburg about a month ago. So we have put a discussion forward with the Department of Arts and Culture, with Louise Graham of International Affairs, to just see how we could possibly engage with this and take this further in the future. I think that quite correctly, we do sit on the African continent, and I think that arts and culture as cultural diplomacy is something very, very powerful that we do need to be engaging with. Having said that, one of the other things that we are looking at as well, and we're in the process of researching it, is looking at which of our corporate members and corporates who are not members are in fact engaged in the rest of the continent as well, because obviously that's a very, very important thing in relation to us acting in a kind of diplomatic form and taking our artists to other countries around the continent. So we're looking at which businesses are in Mozambique, which businesses are in Angola, etc. I mean, we know the obvious ones. We know the kind of MTNs and the Telkoms, etc. But there are other ones as well. So we are looking at that. The issue of crime, it's a good one. We have specifically looking at crime itself, we have funded a project in Soweto, which is it's the Stop Crime Festival. Martin Kubukai is the person who's engaged with it. Amazing, amazing young man doing incredible work, and in fact has been sponsored by ABSA with that particular project. ABSA are also doing some very interesting work around issues of social investment, if you want to call it that. I mean, they funded the HIV/AIDS program, which took place here in Cape Town on the Cape Flats, which is an amazing program just focusing on issues around HIV/AIDS and drugs and the usage of drugs. So they have focused on that. As regards the exploitation of artists, we are very aware of this, and this is why we do have legal pro bono support in our organization from legal bodies, as I said, Weber Wenzel Zaldura, from various different legal firms, so that we can, if need be, support artists who are having issues around that. Crucially, I think it's like we need to go back to the fact that our artists in this country are not skilled enough to engage with these things. So it takes us back to this issue of how do we teach them, how do we kind of engage with them, how do we empower them, how do we upskill them. In the long run, we need them to be in a position that they don't have to come to us for pro bono support. We need them to be in a position that they can understand it and address it appropriately. But that legal support is there if they do need it. We would be delighted to send you our e-bulletins. And I think it's purely just on a case of, like, there's such interesting things going on that often we get to miss out on and we don't hear about.
projects that are just happening all around the country that we can engage with you on. So if I may take the liberty of chatting to Lucinda later and maybe getting your email address, if you would be happy, we'd be very happy to send it to you.
That's my personal secretary there at the door. She'll give you the email and everything.
Okay, fantastic.
If I can just add as well on to 3 points. I think the first one, we thank you for the show of support and on the work that Business and Arts South Africa has been doing. And we intend not having any qualified reports. We have been we have a unique position. We've got a very good CEO. We even have a stronger board. And if I can just give you the concept of our board, these are individuals who are involved in art, some of them, who are experts in certain aspects within the art world, and there are individuals also who are in purely commerce, who are just being brought up to make money, and who are providing the skills of how to run an organization such as BASA, to be able to support the artists in the way it does. And it's quite unique as well to think that all of those board members, they are not being paid a cent, but it's for the love of it, and it produces such sterling work. I think in whatever you consider and do, it's non-remunerated, and the quality of work continues to be strong. We are linked into other organizations such as the Institute of Directors, where their CEO, who just produced the King III report, is part of our board members. They chair our audit committee. And again, this continues to strengthen what we are doing to make sure that we are governance compliant, and will also help others downstream to be so as well, so that we build strong institutions so that talent can never be spoiled with weaker institutions trying to support it. So we just thank you very much for that, and we continue to be single-minded in this dream to make sure that we don't drop our standards and continue to go forward. Thanks.
Any comments before we make closing remarks? From anybody?
May I make a quick comment, because I realized I did leave it out and you did request a question on it. It was 2010. In fact, Business and Arts South Africa, we have been engaging with it separately to the 2010 committee. But what we have done is we have put together a series of presentations for our members, focusing on the kinds of public art projects that they could engage with in 2010. We've also had advice from Spoor & Dean, the legal firm, to try and understand what ambush marketing would be so that we can engage with our artists and our businesses around that, so that they understand like where they need to draw the line, where they could still step, etc. So we have actually focused on that already, and obviously we will continue to do so. We've just set up some other projects, but it's an ongoing process. But apart from that, I would like to say thank you very much, Mr. Chair and the Portfolio Committee, for inviting us here today.
When we have concluded, I'll ask honorable members to remain for 2 minutes. You have raised areas where you've got some challenges, including with AXA. If now we're now gone, you can make a submission to us, because for us to understand something better and to take it forward, it's better when you have it in writing, honorable members. Then we can have something to deal with. And then if we don't deal with it when we meet next time, you said, then what's the mark scaled? Promise is promise. So let's make sure that if there are things you want to submit to us, you do so. As Parliament, we deal with legislation. We can repeal, we can amend, and we can create new legislation why you have got legislative lacunae, the gray areas. We want to believe that you are working, you come across gray areas where you would wish there was legislation. Now, when you identify those issues, let us know. Then go and cast the wind and say, what are these people doing? Just sleeping in Cape Town. Why there's no legislation here, there's no legislation here. Bring that to the attention of honorable members, and we'll interact and make sure that we address those issues. If you're not treated well by a department or a stakeholder or an entity, our job is also to monitor and do oversight of our departments. It's our constitutional mandate. And I'm happy when I hear about these things in order to solve them, rather than wait until there's a wildfire all over the place and some firefighters die when the fire is too big. So I would rather deal with a fire when it's still small, proactively, so to speak. Part of our job is to encourage public participation, and don't be surprised when we're asking about projects in the rural areas everywhere, because we must make sure ours is a participatory democracy, that our people are actually participating there. Now, the quality of an engagement like this one is not determined by how angrily people spoke, either members or anybody, or how they use words that are not often used in the church. The quality, I think, depends on how we debate these issues and come up with agreed positions on how we go forward. Sometimes you can quarrel and fight and say those worthy things which take nobody nowhere. I think what we've done here today has definitely taken us somewhere, and that's exactly what we want. Will it not be a joy, honorable members, when these people and others have worked on exhibition of South African art for 2010, and we take not a tourist tour, but an oversight tour, just to see how well you have done. Actions speak louder than words. With these words, we release you, and honorable members will remain with our staff. And if you want to wait for somebody...